Hello and welcome to a Thanksgiving week edition of the Fifth Quarter Podcast. Thank you for tuning in, guys. And yeah,
that you want to game know what happened. I'm thankful
that
for?
I'm
so thankful,
thankful
for that,
that
Rams
game.
And Chiefs game.
That game happened. Fuck every other game, for being honest.
I think the best way I can describe this game was it was like a basketball game. Both teams are going back and forth. And then even on the turnovers, the defense would go on a fast break and get in the end zone for a touchdown.
It was so good. Nobody cared about Jason Witten's commentary. So
Jason Witten didn't do bad. I don't remember.
Yeah, this game, look.
Todd Gurley rushes for -1 yards. That's why Todd Gurley is so special.
If we're being real, we'll talk about every other game in a little, but we're just going to get right to it with this game. So the Los Angeles Rams defeat Kansas City Chiefs 54-51. I mean, guys, the over/under. What if it was
it
63
got blown
points?
Away.
64
it, it,
points.
It went
was,
up to 66.5 at the end. But
and
goodness.
I mean, bro, I mean, we got 100. What was it? 105.
105.
That's
the
what.
The,
that's
the
40 points more.
Monday night game ever. Yeah.
And I mean, the highest scoring game of all time is 113. We probably could have gotten a little more had a. Had it not been for the turnovers. So, if I'm correct, 5 turnovers. There were 5 turnovers in this game, right?
Well, there was total. There were
6. Okay, I thought it was. I thought it was like 5
Mahomes
or 6.
Mahomes had
a good
5.
Chunk of those. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mahomes had 5. Goff fumbled on a sack.
I mean, so let's. I'll say this right for what it's worth. Patrick Mahomes. It was like a weird performance because he balled like this, like. 33 for 46, 478 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 3 picks. I mean, he balled, but at the same time,
he choked. I think he got he felt the pressure at the end of the game.
Yeah, you could honestly say like he lost. He kind of did lose the game for the Chiefs. And who knows if he doesn't commit if those 5 turnovers don't happen. I mean, this probably could have broken the record for points scored
both
in the game.
Teams might have gotten in the 60s. But yeah, I mean, it's just wild. The Chiefs are the only team in NFL history to score 50 or more points and lose a game.
Yeah.
I mean, that just shows you how crazy this was.
Yeah. I mean, Kansas City, man, I'll tell you this, what I found impressive was, they were down. I mean, they weren't down by a lot, but there are times where they were down by about 10 points. And I mean, against the LA Rams who could put up points. I mean, that's a pretty big deficit, right?
Mm-hmm.
With these teams, we assume that they're each going to score a minimum of 3 points a drive. So being down 10 to the Rams, I mean, it's a big deal, but they kept on coming back, fighting back. And I think that's probably – I'll probably take that more than I'll take the turnovers from Patrick Mahomes. I think it's the fact that even though with all the mistakes, he's shown that even against New England and the other primetime game he played, I mean, he's shown that – even though he's in a second year, man, he's able to just put it away and then he's able to manufacture some comebacks and keep his team right there.
Well, the thing is I found the most crazy about this game was the fact that defenses actually had some moments where they stepped up big. Like the Rams, they had two touchdowns for their defense.
Oh, Aaron Donald. Oh my gosh.
It's just crazy that in a game where both teams score over 50 points, the defenses end up making huge plays that turn the tide of the game.
Yeah, and I mean that D line, man. That Rams D line is good. They are good.
Aaron Donald is a scary man.
Aaron Donald, it's between Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack for defensive players, just because the overall impact they've been able to have on their teams. I mean, the Rams, for the most part, their defense, if you look at them statistically, I mean, they're not the best. Their pass defense is 20th in the league, allowing 252 yards. And last night, they got gashed again. But for the most part, I mean, that front four is putting in work. I mean,
their star players stepped up when they needed them to.
Yeah, yeah.
Marcus Peters had what we thought was a game-clinching interception. And it probably should have been. But...
If I'm correct, LaMarcus Joyner got the actual game-winning interception.
Yeah, the one that ended it, yeah.
Yeah. But, hey, it's not like – I kind of did call it that, somebody on the Rams. It's one of the bigger name players. Sadly, it just wasn't at the exact time.
I will say the play calling in the final, like, minute 50 of that game for both teams was a little
it was weird.
Sketchy.
But it's Andy Reid, man.
Yeah.
It's Andy Reid.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they were thinking with those short passes on either of the two drives they had to take the lead.
I don't think, to me, you can't fault Andy Reid for Mahomes making a pass.
That is true, yeah.
But why they had people going deep. Mahomes chose the check down.
I mean, sure, but, like, I don't know. Mahomes did also chuck it. Both times he chucked it deep, it was intercepted. I mean, I just think if any coach has blame, and they won the game, so it doesn't matter. It was Sean McVay passing the ball all three times on a –
Well, he knew he wasn't going to be able to run for a first down. I respect passing.
I mean, you have the best running back in the NFL. I feel like he could – you can trust him with that.
Who only was able to get 55 yards rushing the entire game.
No, but I thought he was criminally underused. I expected Todd Gurley Todd Gurley touched the ball 15 times, right? This is the – you could honestly argue this is one of the best – this is the best player in the league, right? I mean, on average – I'm sorry. It's going to take me a little bit. Give me a second. I just got to do some math real quick. Forgive me. I just want to make sure I get the right number because I want to, like
– Okay, well, you do this. Well, you do this. Mahomes kept his team in the game. He threw for 478 yards and 6 touchdowns. So he kept his team in it, but he also lost it for
okay,
his team.
Okay, so Todd Gurley touches the ball 23 times a game, right? He averages 10 yards of reception, and he averages 5 yards a carry. You only give him the ball 15 times, right? This is a big game. And to me, I just thought that you're underusing one of the best players in the league. He had 12 carries for 55 yards. That's 4.6 yards a carry. But at the same time, I guess because of the pace at which the Kansas City Chiefs offense was moving, you want to keep up with that, right? If you're taking up too much time in the clock, and this is going to sound really weird, but if you're taking up too much time in the clock and then Kansas City is just able to score at will, it kind of does force you a little to try to keep up with the scoring and not slow down. You don't want to slow down the game too much, but I just kind of found it weird that like you don't give the ball too much to your best player and
an MVP candidate.
Yeah, and I mean both running backs didn't really, I guess, for what they usually touch the ball. I mean, Kareem Hunt 17 touches. I guess they didn't touch as much, but I just kind of found it weird that, you know, it didn't feature you weren't featuring your best players, cuz on the Kansas City offense, I kind of do think probably Kareem Hunt is probably their best player aside from Mahomes. Tyreek Hill's explosive, but we've seen Tyreek Hill get shut down. Like, Tyreek Hill has been good, but the thing is that the ability of Patrick Mahomes has been what's allowed him to excel. Because with Alex Smith, he was still really good. He was still a deep threat, but you weren't getting those deep passes. But Kareem Hunt, I mean, last year, even slowed down middle of the year, Kareem Hunt's shown that he's been consistent if you give him the ball. So that, I guess that's just my thing. I find it weird that there's a lack of running back in a way.
The thing that I really want to talk about is we all know it's more of a consensus that Sean McVay is probably the best coach in the league, right? We can all agree on that.
I'm not saying it.
I think he is.
There's bias, but yeah, my side is bias.
He's clearly up there.
But yeah, Sean McVay.
Do you guys
up there.
Know his? Do you guys know his playing and coaching history?
No.
Have you guys heard the story? I learned this last night when I was eating dinner. So he went to high school here in Georgia.
Okay.
He's from Marietta. He played at Marist, which is one of the 4A teams. He played quarterback, wide receiver, and safety.
Oh, look at that. A nice little Taysom Hill going on, coach.
Oof. He won state championship. I had his stats for high school. For his high school stats as a quarterback are absolutely insane. He was the first player in school history to pass for 1,000 yards, rush for 1,000 yards, and score 50 touchdowns in consecutive years.
Ooh.
As a quarterback. Think about that. Rush for 1,000 yards as a quarterback.
I mean,
I found that very interesting.
Yeah.
And then he set 4A records in passing, rushing, touchdowns, and interceptions, ironically enough.
Yeah, I mean, he's helped his offense. You know what stunned me though?
Well,
I had never seen.
He went to Miami, Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff. Do you know when he became involved in the NFL? At what age?
20-ish.
He was hired by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 20.
Okay, yeah, that's all right. I was. I remember seeing that he got
as a wide receiver. He was the wide receiver coach at age 20 for Tampa Bay.
Wow,
pretty crazy.
He's only like 31, if I'm correct. 31 or 32.
I find young. He's 31 currently. Yeah, that's insane. In 2008, he was employed by an NFL team at our age.
I mean, he's yeah. No, but he's. I mean, he's turned that offense. ESPN was showing the stats.
That blows my mind.
I mean, they were scoring like, what, 16 points a game under Jeff Fisher. Now they're scoring 30 point something. And they went – I think they were – I don't remember. But basically, they've been 20-6 since the hiring of Sean McVay. And I don't remember what their previous record was.
21.
It was trash. 21-6. Thank you. Thank you. Seven. Thank you. Yeah, 21. Okay. But, yeah, Sean McVay's just turned this team around. I mean, this offense is lethal. But if we're going to mention coaches, Andy Reid is an absolute unit. As a kid.
Unit.
Oh, God.
As a 13-year-old.
I was in awe at the size of that lad, bro. Just absolute
he
unit.
He was like three times as big as the other kids.
No, I was like, they're like, this is a 13-year-old Andy Reid. I'm like, no, you're lying. That's he's got to be just, you're shitting with me. And then they're like, no, it's 13. I'm like, oh, that's a 13-year-old Andy Reid. What the fuck? He's huge. You know what? I'm actually make the if I can find a picture of 13-year-old Andy Reid, I'm gonna make that the episode picture, just so people understand what we're talking about. But but yeah, but back to the game. Yeah, the defenses did have a weird impact. And I mean, two touchdowns from the Rams defense. One
Samson Ebukam.
One from the Chiefs defense. That Chiefs touch that. That Chiefs defensive touchdown was actually really crazy because I think it was it Justin Houston who caused the
Justin
the ball
Houston
to,
knocked it out.
Yeah, knocked it out. Yeah. And then I don't know who
knocked it into his D lineman's hands.
Yeah.
Number 97, I don't know his name.
But it was I can probably find it real quick.
I mean the crazy thing is, and I said this before, it really felt like a basketball game. I don't know if you guys had that same feeling from it. Just
Alan
how
Bailey
they were going back and forth.
Nick, it was Alan
Bailey. Yeah, it had the scoring of a college basketball game. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I mean, it was, yeah, 54-51. Hey, college basketball scores are ugly. They also brick a lot of shots. I'm also not going to judge because I'm not good at basketball. I'm also 5'7", so hey, basketball is my strong suit.
Okay.
But yeah, back. I'm sorry, I got off track. But yeah. But still, I think that to me, man, if you're the Rams defense, I think with you go out and trade for Marcus Peters, you go out and trade for Aqib Talib, and I love the game but if you're looking at it from a coaching perspective, you know Sean McVay is fucking pissed that they gave up that many yards. Like, you know that a defensive coordinator, had it not been the fact that it was the number one number one team in the league, number one, or are the Saints one? Is it Chiefs first?
Off the top of my head, I'm going to guess it's Saints for points scored.
Okay. I'm trying to find, I'm thinking about like yards, but I mean, if you give up that much, right, you give up 54 points, usually you're winning that game and you're not stressed. But I mean, the Rams are 20th in pass defense. I mean, with the kind of names that you have, you'd hope that your team would be better at defending. Like I said, I'm going to sound a little unappreciative because I loved the game last night, but I do think if you look at it from a different perspective of, like, you're pissed that you gave up this many yards,
well,
like,
I mean,
with the kind of talent you have on your team.
I think there's a
like,
positive.
This is one of those talented defenses.
There's some and positives, like, though. Like, their defense made big plays when they needed them to. And, I mean,
yeah,
if you think about it, that's all that really matters. And, I mean, they played really well in the final minute of that game. They had to defend Patrick Mahomes twice, and they ended up stopping them and getting turnovers. So, I mean, it's just –
at the end of the day, if you need to – you just ask your defense to make one play, and they made, like, six.
That is true, yeah.
So you can give up all the yards you want. If you win your team the game, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So was this the best regular season game you guys have ever seen? I can't think of a better one.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
This
is up there for best games I've ever seen. I'm still going to give the fourth quarter of the 20 16 or not 2 years ago, Super Bowl 51. I'll give Super Bowl 51. I'll give the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 51 still being probably the best. I'll give that the best segment of football I've ever seen, but that's because I'm a Patriots fan. But this game, it's a little biased, but this game, I mean, from start to finish was amazing. I mean, it was just points on points on points. It's extremely fun. And if we have to see it again, I'm going to be sitting right there from the TV enjoying it because it was just that great.
Yeah.
Definitely a potential preview of a Super Bowl matchup.
Yeah.
It felt like a Super Bowl. I said that in the group chat. This game at the beginning, it felt like a Super Bowl.
Also, the Coliseum was packed. It's good to see that Los Angeles does have a team.
To be honest, they actually have a home field. Yeah. I'm really glad that that game got moved from Mexico City. I thought the atmosphere and everything with it being
ESPN kept on cutting to that bar in Mexico City.
Yeah, do you know that bar was actually in Mexico City?
Probably not. It was probably right there in L.A.
That bar was in L.A.
Yeah, it had to be in L.A.
I don't think they could lie about that.
They did.
Bro, it was a Buffalo Wild Wings, man.
It was a local pub in downtown Los Angeles.
They said they called it some, like, they named it like some bar. They're like, oh, at this bar. But if you saw the Cubs, it said Buffalo Wild Wings. It's like, hey.
I did see the Cubs.
Bar.
I don't think a bar needs to steal Cubs from Buffalo Wild Wings. But yeah.
You want to move on to the other games of the weekend that are much less relevant?
Yeah, the ones we don't care about as much. Yeah. I'll mention them. So. Seattle beat.
This is my job. Let me give the quick rundown.
Okay.
The Packers sucked it up against the Seahawks again. Any comments?
Russell Wilson, I love you.
Fire Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I didn't watch this whole game, so I'll stick with you guys on that judgment.
McCarthy's play calling was just abysmal.
I know
again.
He didn't go Fackrell had fourth and two.
Yeah.
You know, is it bad? I watched that whole game and I forgot about it. Last night just basically changed. I don't remember any football I watched because of last night. Continue, though.
Yeah. McCarthy can't call plays anymore. Gotta go.
Fackrell. Oh, one more thing. One more thing. Hey, Aaron Jones, man. Still good. McCarthy didn't play him until now.
Yeah. Kyler Fackrell coming out party. Future Clay Matthews there. Cowboys, Falcons. Falcons lose in disappointment yet again.
Cowboys! Woo!
What an awesome game. I saw parts of this game.
I saw nothing but the game-winning field goal, and it made me happy.
I watched the field goal.
It gave me warm and fuzzy feelings.
Julio Jones destroyed...
with the hit stick. Yeah. Destroyed Heath.
Of course, the Cowboys winning this game is huge for them.
Also, Julio scored, guys.
Smith going down.
That's three straight.
Yeah, he scored
another three in a row.
Three in a row. So, and Zeke is still a beast. Zeke 23 for 122 in the touchdown, and 7 for 79 on receiving.
Let's not focus on a team that's not going to make the playoffs. The Cowboys look like they might make the playoffs out of this division.
They might. They can easily win.
The Redskins are done. I think we can all say the Redskins are done.
Redskins are over. It's done. Colt McCoy's not winning them.
I mean, we get Washington, Dallas this week, and if I'm correct. Is Washington still in first, or are they?
Currently.
For now. So, Dallas wins this game, and they're in control of that division. So, who knows? Maybe they're an accident. Maybe they become the accident. The accident waiting to happen. So,
moving on. Panthers, Lions. Any comments, Hayden?
All I have to say is I agree with the decision to go for two. It was
Riverboat Ron.
That Camp could set his feet and end up sailing the ball over. Right's hand, but I agree with the call. It's an unfortunate loss, but thankfully the rest of the NFC is kind of middling, so still a good chance.
Live by the Gano, die by the Gano.
Yeah, he sucked it up.
Titans Colts. Did anybody actually watch this game?
Nah,
but I know Luck did pretty good.
Tennessee, man, get a big win last week, and then they sucked it up this week. Makes sense.
Did they pull the classic Titans?
Yes, they did. And it's happened before. They beat the Eagles, and then they sucked it up the next week. I forgot against two, but they sucked it up. So, good to see that good old Tennessee can't make up its mind.
Giants almost blew a big fourth-quarter lead.
Jameis, I'm so gosh darn tired of this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team, man.
Here's what they need to do. Ryan Fitzpatrick needs to start the first half. Winston needs to start the second half of every
then
game.
Then the next game they switch. No, yeah, next game it's yeah. I don't know, man. I'm so this team is so this team is so weird because if it was just one quarterback, like if it just one quarterback that played, they'd be fine. Their offense is pretty good. They're 8th in points scored. I mean, they're good. They just can't
You'll
win.
You'll get my full opinion on the Buccaneers later on in the show. I've got some words for them.
Also, Saquon's still crazy.
Texans win their 7th straight.
Looks like my preseason prediction.
Look at the
preseason
prediction.
I feel so bad for Alex.
I did the playoff prediction thing, and I've been going 12-4. Their schedule is really easy, so depending on how everything works out, they could get the 2 seed or the 3 seed. So
yo,
we'll see.
So
yeah, all right.
Hey, man.
J.J. Watt put Alex Smith out of his misery with like a gruesome leg injury.
Yikes!
33 years to the date of
Wasn't it on the same yard line too?
I don't know about that, but
that's what I heard because it both happened at the 40-yard line. That's what I heard on Twitter.
Burn that stadium to the ground. Get rid of it. Cursed. Built on an Indian burial ground.
Hey, that's what happens when you use Redskins. You get cursed.
Yeah. Any comments on that game, Johan?
Okay. No.
All right, moving on. Steelers pull off a big fourth quarter comeback against the Jaguars, who for the life
Jags
of
back
Blake
for
Bortles
a little...
cannot score.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger is the big trash when it comes to being away, so.
Big Ben made up for his 3 interceptions.
He just barely
and
got
won
that
the
game.
Game.
Touchdown.
James Conner played like trash, lost me my fantasy matchup. Antonio Brown.
Way.
Antonio Brown's still a beast.
Bitch, still a beast.
On my fantasy team.
Yeah, moving on, Bengals Ravens, Lamar Jackson
Lamar!
Is undefeated as a career starter.
Michael Vick never left.
He was the leading rusher in that game. Wow, 27 carries?
27 carries.
Yeah, I mean, it was – I remember, like, he was, like, 10 for 64, like, after the first quarter. I didn't understand how they were using him. I was so confused by his usage. But
I forget innovative. The name of the running back that they were running the
Alex
option
Collins?
With.
Was it Alex Collins?
No, it was, like, their 4th-string running back.
Oh, I can look it up.
It was
Gus Edwards.
Gus Edwards. They ran out. I think they ran the read option probably 40 plus times in this game.
Man, good old Paul Johnson making his way into the NFL.
Yeah.
I love it.
Moving on. Raiders Cardinals. Raiders win. Blech, blech, blech. Chargers upset by the Broncos. A game winning Brandon McManus field goal.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I'm a little surprised the Chargers lost this game.
Me too.
There was Philip Rivers had a terrible mistake at the end of the game, which gave the Broncos time.
To be honest,
anybody saw?
I
know what happened.
I didn't see the whole part of the game.
So
if you want to,
he was getting run down.
If I'm being real, I didn't get to watch.
Wrong.
I didn't watch many games on Sunday.
You never do, Joe.
I didn't really.
No,
let me give you
a
quick recap of the final 2 minutes here. Hey, pipe down. Final 2 minute recap. The Broncos had no timeouts left and were down by 2. All the Chargers had to do was run the clock out and get a first down. Well, on 3rd down, Philip Rivers decided to try and pass the ball for 1st down. He was going to get sacked, and it was still bled the clock out, and it would have left the Broncos with probably 20 seconds left. And he decided to throw the ball away instead of take a sack. And it saved enough clock time for the Broncos to go downfield and kick a field goal.
Dang.
And then
disappointing end to an pretty good game.
Yeah, and a fucking beatdown in New Orleans.
Yeah, this is the Saints beat the Eagles like a drum.
I just want to say that the Eagles are very disappointed this year, and Carson Wentz
like
is playing.
Most people said they would.
Yeah,
we all thought they would make it the playoffs.
Yeah,
so.
But I didn't think that
they're my
60. I didn't think that they'd be beat 48-7. Like that is
they
rough.
Were completely destroyed by the Saints. Once again, I actually didn't watch much of this game because it was a
total.
Blowout.
It was
Carson
a total
Wentz,
brutalization.
19 for 33, 156, and 3 picks. Man,
yeah,
Traquan Smith, 10 for 160.
Carson Wentz
and a
playing
touchdown.
Bad. He played really bad. And the parts I watched, I
Saints
saw like all of his interceptions.
Is coming on again.
This yeah. Saints team, bro. They're. I want to see the Chiefs play them.
That'd be a really good game. And then the Sunday night game, which this was a good game.
This
Vikings
is one I actually
Bears,
watched
but it was
most of.
Kind
of
yeah, I watched the
overshadowed by the Monday night spectacular.
So
spectacle.
I mean, if anything, the Bears struggled to score on offense, and the Vikings also struggled to score on offense up until their garbage time touchdown.
Two good defenses showed why they were good.
I mean, sure. I'm not. The Bears look really good to me. The Vikings, I'm not sold on.
The Vikings are.
Kirk Cousins doesn't show up in primetime games, and he has a few big games coming up in the future that the Vikings are going to need to win if they want to get back to the playoffs.
New England in 2 weeks, so.
Yeah, and then the Packers next week in primetime. So.
Are they Sunday Night Football or Fox?
That's
prime
Sunday
time,
night.
Or
Sunday
Fox 4:30. Okay. Who gets Fox 4:30 then?
It's
Oh no, that's CBS. It's the
Cowboys.
Steelers. No, it's the Steelers and the Broncos. It's a pretty bad game.
Oh.
Did you go Thanksgiving?
Yeah, Cowboys and Redskins on Thanksgiving. So.
And then we've already.
Spoke about the Chiefs Rams. Yeah, we'll talk about that. But no, I just wanted to say that. So I brought this up last night to y'all, but I still do think that, in a way, the Chicago Bears might be the most balanced team in the NFL. Just because they're able to they're sixth in points scored, they're fourth in points allowed. I mean their defense has been pretty good for the most part, and their offense. I mean, even though I'm not gonna say that Mitch Trubisky is some elite quarterback, but he gets it done. Their offense gets it done, and their defense is more than capable of shutting down offenses
and
getting plays.
The Vikings
plays.
Really did nothing until garbage time. They had 6 points until they got the two touchdowns in the end.
Yeah, so. Stephon Diggs, I hate him because it was going to go into fantasy talk, but that's okay. We don't need to. But for the most part,
no, we can talk about fantasy.
Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy's a very good head coach.
Yeah. Their offense, man, going into the season, I mean, like I said, their defense last season was pretty good, top 10, but their offense was what could propel them to be a threat. And it looks like their offense is clicking. So
they made a couple interesting decisions going for two. Of course, they ended up working both times, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But they went for two at the end to get up 16, which if they didn't get it, would have been 14, which I mean, I don't know. Ooh. I thought it was a little risky.
I just want to mention that they get. That they play the Rams, Packers, and Vikings in the final 4 weeks. The Bears do in the final 4 weeks. So it's going to be an interesting stretch for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have the division down. I don't trust the Packers, the Vikings.
I think they did too.
Yeah, I am very interested in seeing that Rams Bears game though. It could go one of two ways. But yeah, solid. I guess not solid. It's solid in a way, but. I mean, a lot of the games
ended
are close.
Nicely.
Yeah, there were some close games, but I mean,
most of the games are actually one possession games. Looking at it,
majority of them were.
Yeah, other than Philly and Tennessee.
Yeah, so I mean,
so solid
really,
week,
really good week.
Yeah. All right. I guess that. So moving on to
wraps
our,
up the week review.
Yeah, so moving on
our own
to
personal
our. That's a lot of damage. Player of the week, not presented by Phil Swift or Flex Tape, Flex Seal, Flex Cover, any of the Flex products. Nick, you want to start off since I don't know where Hayden's
Drew
game is.
Drew Brees, 22 of 30, 363 yards and 4 touchdowns, and a 48-point rout of the reigning Super Bowl champs. Drew Brees continues to be the league MVP.
Yeah, that's
what an absolute clinic at the age of 39.
They're the opposite of last year, where it was more they leaned on the running game and Drew Brees this year, man, they're just unleashing Drew Brees and having the running game go off, man. That team is something.
I mean,
that offense is.
Yeah, to be honest, I can't really think of a player. Better than Drew Brees this week, so I'll jump on that too. And he's having an amazing
season.
He's
still first in the league for turnover. He leads the league in turnover to touchdown ratio.
If I'm being honest, just look at and for my player of the week, I mean, it could have been anybody. I'm picking somebody from Kansas City, Los Angeles. I didn't want to go with I'm just gonna go with Tyreek Hill. I mean, 10 receptions for 215 yards and two touchdowns. I mean, it's outrageous.
I will say, Tyreek Hill made some – we didn't cover this. He made some stupid mistakes at the end of the game in the fourth quarter trying to take off field both the punts when he was at, like, the one-yard line going backwards. So he did end up screwing over the Chiefs that final drive because I think they
started, I think, like, for the most part, though, I think the Chiefs – I think that if you're the Chiefs coaches, you don't like it, but you know the quality of returner that Tyreek Hill is, that it doesn't matter where you kick it, there's a chance he could bust that open. And, I mean, that can go for any player, but Tyreek Hill is a special returner. So I think that's why you'll take the losses.
He got a little too cocky on both of those, though.
I'm saying is, like, I think for the most part, if you're the Chiefs, you'll take it because you know that if he gets a hole, it's over. He's scoring that. He's just too fast. But, yeah. Pat Mahomes had a big game. Travis Kelce was really good. Chris Conley had two touchdowns. And then Jared Goff.
His player of the
Brandon
week,
Cooks. I know. I'm just saying. Like, there's just so many players in this game. So, yeah. Drew Brees and, for me, Tyreek Hill are that's a lot of damage. Players of the week. Phil Swift, we're still here in case you want to sponsor us. All right, moving on. Nick, you want to do your segment?
I shall go first. The second iteration of the Teams Who Forgot How to Play Football list, brought to you by Lowe's and brought to you by Craftsman.
We're actually not brought – none of those.
Brought to you by Craftsman.
None of those. But
so the way I determine the five teams I put on this list and the order I then put them in is a combination of how good is the team now – and how set are they going forward for the next few years?
It's interesting.
Combination of the two. Because team also implies the front office. And I have to be able to scrutinize their decisions too. Which means even though the Raiders are probably the worst team in the NFL, I only have them at number 5 because of the draft capital they have in the few coming years with 5 first-round picks. And they're going to hit on at least one of these picks, and they're going to be able to draft a superstar.
They could pull a Browns.
John Gruden
knows
how to draft.
Even the Browns. The Browns have drafted a couple of good players. I mean, Myles Garrett has been pretty good. Baker's out.
I would hope you draft a couple of good players when you're picking top 5 every year.
Hey. No need to be so aggressive. I was just pointing out the fact that they picked good players.
Number 4 on the list. Hey, the Browns aren't on this list because they're a decent team now.
Yay.
Number 4 on the list is the Cardinals, which they're going to have a high overall pick. They've got a few pieces to build around, Christian Kirk and Josh Rosen, but their defense is aging quickly. They're really lacking at the skill position. Their O-line isn't good. So they have a lot of improvements to make after having lost to the Raiders. And then sitting right behind the Cardinals at number 3, I have the Bills, who will also have a very high draft pick. That's a common theme on this list. These teams are going to be drafting pretty high.
Oh, bad teams. Except the problem with the Bills. No way. Sorry.
No way. I'm sick of you. The Bills don't have a quarterback to build around. The only probably quality player they have left at a skill position is Zay Jones, and he's probably a receiver 2 or 3.
You don't think Josh Allen can develop? He wasn't.
I don't like him.
He wasn't supposed to play this year.
He's already had his first major injury. He's played 4 games.
I mean, honestly, I feel like just giving
him in college, I didn't like him. Coming out of college, I didn't like him. And I didn't like him as a quarterback. I don't think he's going to amount to much.
I mean, normally most quarterbacks don't pop off in their first year. They pop off down the line. I mean, you look at Jared Goff.
Usually most quarterbacks don't have to go have shoulder surgery after their 4th game.
I mean, sure, but he's still young. He can recover from that.
This is my list. Don't scrutinize my choices.
That's what I'm here to do. That's literally
what
I need.
Country,
Johar, still
get what
in
I want.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, next segment.
Their only quality running back, LeSean McCoy, is approaching the deathly age of 30. So he'll probably be done in a probably two more seasons.
I still don't know why he wasn't traded.
Yeah. Yeah, they could have gotten some decent capital for him, but it's the Bills. They don't really know what they're doing. Their D-line is still decent, but Kyle Williams can't play forever. There's just nothing bright outside of Tre'Davious White on that defense. It's going to be a rough few years for the Bills. They're going to need to hit on some good draft picks. And they're not like the Browns in their rebuild, where they have stocked up a bunch of first-rounders. They just have their one.
It's crazy. They went from playoffs to one of the worst teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
Rod Taylor. Where you at?
They're going to be down in the gutter for probably the next 5 years.
I'm surprised they have 3 wins, to be honest. Don't know how that happened.
Those 3 wins, the only reason they're ahead of the number 2 team, which is the Jets.
The Jets.
I do like Sam Darnold a lot more than I like Josh Allen. I still don't like Sam Darnold. I thought he was overrated in college. I thought he was overrated in the draft.
I thought he should have stayed one more year, yeah.
He was my 3rd favorite QB in the draft. And I'm even outside of him, he doesn't have receivers. Quincy Nunua, Jermaine Kearse, and Robbie Anderson are not an ideal receiving core.
Hey, Robbie was good last year, but of course not this year.
Their head coach is probably going to get fired. Their O-line is just – it's bad. Their O-line, all 5 need to go. They don't have any semblance of a franchise running back from Isaiah Crowell. Elijah McGuire is decent at best. And their defense isn't good either. They don't have a premier pass rusher. Tremaine Johnson isn't playing well. He's not playing like the 3rd best corner, which is where he's being paid at. The only real bright spot on that team is Sam Darnold and Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams is a beast.
I'm saying bright spot is a reach when it comes to Darnold.
Yeah. Jamal Adams is really good. Have you guys seen him play?
No. I don't watch Jets games.
And that was against the Browns.
I guess I might watch. Oh, I did watch a Jets game, huh? I guess I might watch a Jets game Sunday because they're playing New England, but that's about it.
It's on TV.
Yeah, then the worst team in the NFL, I think, is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Wow, that's a little hot take.
No, I get why he's saying it.
I don't know what to make of this team. They have 2 quarterback situations.
They're the biggest.
They don't know
show.
Who to play.
I will say that.
Again, it's a combination of team quality and quality going forward. I don't think they have a franchise quarterback in either of those 2 bombs.
Well, yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick is old.
It's magic.
They drafted Ronald Jones III. In the 2nd round as a running back. He can't even get on the field because of behind Peyton Barber, who's also not a good running back. Mike Evans is aging, and I don't think he's a premier receiver. I just don't see it.
Give him a good quarterback.
I don't know. And their defense.
What defense? Do they have a defense? Does it exist?
No, they don't. They had 1 good player on that defense, Quan Alexander, and he's out for the season. So there's nothing. There's really nothing on that team to be excited about.
Hey, except their offense coming back and
oh, Mike Evans. Mike Evans. Touchdown. Me. I know Mike Evans.
Mike Evans needs to go get himself a real team.
New England.
Come to the
every
Panthers.
Player,
we need
every player the Buccaneers draft doesn't work out. They spent a top 10 pick on Vernon Hargreaves. He can't get on the field anymore. He was their 4th corner going into the season, and then he got hurt. He's absolute bust.
Roberto Aguayo.
Their number 12, sorry, their second round kicker is a free agent all coming off of his 4th team. Their 12th overall defensive tackle pick, who's supposed to be a big-bodied nose tackle, stop the run, can't stop the run. They acquired a pass rusher from New York with only 3 fingers.
Oh, my gosh.
He has 2 sacks on the season.
Okay.
Nick, I just wanted to mention, I just got some of the Bleacher Report. Mbappe and Neymar injured. Just random interjection about soccer.
Ew, Farmers League.
Wait, have you already mentioned Ronald Jones or my
Ronald Jones can't get on the field because Peyton Barber is better than him.
And I forgot and something Rogers. Jaquizz Rogers is also on the
Jesus.
Field.
Stop.
Good God.
I forgot he existed. Just,
no, I like.
I'm sorry, Buck fans, if any of you still exist, for what you're going to have to go through the next decade.
Did they exist in the first place?
This is going to get much worse.
You put up all those yards, right? You put up all those points, and they're really, really meaningless because you're not getting anywhere. Like, at least my opinion of this is right. Like, I think
Matthew Stafford's career is the Bucs team. It's just a bunch of meaningless points and yards.
Look, I'll say this, right? If I'm the Bucs, right, I wouldn't play Ryan Fitzpatrick. What's the point of winning, right? I let Jameis Winston finish this out. I want to see if there's any reason to think that he can maybe be a future, right? If he throws five picks in a game, let him. What's the point? There's nothing you're going to gain from it. Ryan Fitzpatrick is what, 35 or something? He's old. He's not going to get anywhere in his career anymore. There's nothing for him in the NFL. There's no reason to keep him around, right? You're going to get a high draft pick. If you want to get a good quarterback, then you're probably going to have to draft or you're going to have to trade, right? So you want a high draft pick. Just let Jameis Winston ride it out. See if you have something. Because honestly, all they're going to go is switch from one half being down, one half almost winning. But what's the point of almost winning if you're really not gaining anything? All you're gaining is meaningless yards and points and meaningless stats that aren't going to show you anything. It's good that your team's putting up 30 points a game. Cool. You're not getting anything out of it because, one, you don't know if your quarterbacks are any good. Your quarterbacks are trash in the first half. Your quarterbacks are being subbed out like this.
Get them, Johan.
One half they're in, one half they're out. I'm sending too much energy on the Bucks, but they're just rad. So bad. I just
Do you have some pent-up anger?
It just pisses me off because I – oh, my gosh. Hello? Something happened. I'm just –
You
just
broke
hate
Nick with your rant.
Look, Hello? It just – What happened? It just – nothing. I don't know what happened. But
I'm very scared of Johan. He's getting very
mad. What I was
mad.
Saying was like, what I was saying, I don't know why I'm so mad about it. I'm mad about the Bucks. I don't know why. It's a beautiful day outside. I'm so frustrated at the Bucks for no reason. But I'm just saying, man. Just ride Jameis Winston out. Sign somebody, bro.
See what you can get. I'm like, thankful for the Bucks because they suck.
No, but
the NFC
like.
South needs a bad team in the division.
No, like, yeah, they do. Look. It's just frustrating. Like you're like the Bucks are like stationary. Like they're just stuck. They have nowhere to go because their defense is trash. Their offense is trash. But at least see what you have in Jameis Winston. In my opinion, he's like what in his fourth season in the league. Just see what you have. Let him ride it out for the rest of the season. He throws 10 picks in a game.
They have someone
good
that
shit.
Broke then, Uber drivers.
The next game, he'll throw five touchdowns. Just let right, Johan, so, just keep somebody in. Forgive me, I'm so sorry.
The situation for the Bucks is going to get much worse before it gets better.
Yeah. All right.
The unfortunate truth.
All right. So just go 5-1 on your list, just as a
so
recap.
So here's my short and sweet official NFL. Oh, you know, never mind. Sorry, I got ahead of myself.
Yeah. Hello.
Go ahead,
yeah. Raiders, Cardinals, Bills, Jets, and the Buccaneers in order of not worst to worst.
All right.
On the team,
moving on
how to play football.
Now moving on to not sponsored,
unappreciated,
hated by everybody, power rankings.
I provide the short and sweet version this week. I didn't have much time to research. So this week I did a little.
He's not down for the cause.
A little bit different.
Hayden Brower is not down for the cause. He doesn't like this podcast enough. He doesn't care about all you listeners.
Hold on. So this week I did it a little bit different. I think I have only four teams in my power rankings this week. There wasn't a fifth team that deserved to be on here. And what I think of these four teams, if I'm going to take these four teams or the field to win the Super Bowl, I'm going to go with these four teams because I don't think there's anyone else that really has a chance at winning it. So starting at number four, the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we all know, I mean, they beat the Jags. It was an ugly win. The last time I checked, the W's all that matters.
But good teams win ugly games.
Exactly. And, I mean, they've turned it around. And in my opinion, they're definitely the second best team in the AFC. And it looks like they could very well get the 2 seed.
Definitely is a stretch.
Oh, you heard what I said. And, I mean, I think – they beat the Patriots down the line, and they end up getting the two seed in the AFC. So now moving on to the best team in the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs. Now both of their losses have been to – they've been to great teams on the road in thrilling games where they easily could have won either of them. They had a chance in both. But I will say Mahomes, it kind of worries me a little bit because he struggled down the stretch with those two last drives where he could have led the team down the field. All they needed was a field goal to tie the game, and he ended up just throwing the ball up for grabs and throwing interceptions on both. But in the future, I mean, I still think they're really good. Still need to see more from their defense. But I still like them to be the favorite in the AFC, especially if they get home field advantage. So now, this is where Nick's going to hate me. The New Orleans totally Saints nonsensical. Is still number two. I think it makes sense.
But I don't – I'll wait. Sorry.
Yeah, you can – just let me go through it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'll just wait. Cause...
I mean, if I'm being honest, in any other season, they're probably the number one team. It's just the fact there's another fantastic team ahead of them in the Rams. Their defense has shown great strides, and they've stepped it up recently. And if that keeps up, maybe I would have to give them the nod over the Rams. But, I mean, my reasoning for the Rams at number one, they're the most balanced offensive team in the NFL, in my opinion. Even with Cooper Kupp out, they didn't miss a beat. They still dropped 54. And the defense, they made enough big plays in the game to end up winning them the game. So, I mean – if I'm picking anyone in the future, if I'm putting my money down on any team doing the Super Bowl, it would be the Rams. That's where I have them. Number one.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, because I remember last week I said I would have them at two because I didn't know how the loss of Cooper Kupp would impact them. But Josh Reynolds stepped in and, everything was the same. So, I think that the Saints-Rams argument, the only reason I just think that they don't start off slow. Like last time they played the Saints, right? It was, can somebody remember this? It was 35-17 at halftime, right?
Yeah.
Somewhere around
35-17. Okay. I highly doubt that the Rams get down 18 against the Saints again. I think that they don't start off slow like that again. This Rams offense is too good to start off slow, and they're the type that you have to keep, you don't have to keep, the Rams don't keep up with you. You keep up with the Rams. That's how I see it. Unless you're the Chiefs or the Saints, you're having to keep up with them. But I still think that the Rams have enough talent. I think defensively, even though I think that they need to improve pass defense, and maybe Aqib Talib improves it. That'll be a big return. I think at the end of the day, I trust the bigger names on the Rams over the bigger names on the Saints. Like Marcus Lattimore doesn't worry me as much as maybe Aqib Talib does. Maybe Marcus Peters has a moment of brilliance in his and he's struggling this year, but I still think he's an elite corner at his best. So I think that if the Rams defense does turn it around, and I think that because they're so high scoring, their numbers might be a little too. I'm trying to find the word.
Inflated.
Yeah. I think that the pass defense is so inflated because teams have to try to keep up with them. So maybe that's why their numbers don't look as good. But I do think that I trust the Rams, the bigger names of the Rams defense to make a play over the bigger names on the Chiefs or Saints defense. And their offense, I mean, it just keeps going. So.
And then for anyone that's just listening to this episode for the first time, or like our podcast for the first time, how I do these rankings is if these teams play on neutral fields, who am I taking? And that's why I have the Rams over the Saints. And Nick gets all mad about that, but I mean, even maybe. Though the Saints beat the Rams already.
I understand. If the Saints beat the Rams, you probably put the Saints at number one.
Nah, I learned that's not how it goes.
Wait, if we're judging just by who beat who, I mean, some team.
You can beat them head to head, but there's so much about a head to head game that changes. Like I said, the Rams started off slow. I highly doubt the Rams start off slow against the Saints.
If we're just going based off head-to-head, the Bucs should be in my power rankings over the Saints because the Bucs beat the Saints, so why not put the Bucs there?
And it's the Patriots just, should be over the Chiefs because the Patriots beat the Chiefs.
Exactly. It doesn't head-to-head.
I'm not saying it's all just head-to-head, but I think the Saints are a better team.
No, that's okay, and, I mean, that's fine.
That's very fair to think that, but I don't.
All right. Those are your power rankings. I'm not gonna.
This is why we're talking. This is why we have a podcast to debate.
Do I need to spell it out for you? Maybe because you're a Panthers fan.
I was gonna say the Panthers weren't in his power rankings. Not that they deserve to be, because they're not. They shouldn't be. But yeah, they're not in for a reason. All right, so
Panthers Hayden, be like Nick has something to say about the Saints. Go for it.
I literally just said it. I said maybe they're not number one because you're a Panthers fan.
Ooh, beef.
I mean, I legitimately think the Rams are better. If I was betting on who I think to make it to the Super Bowl, I said I'd take the Rams. And I take money. I take bias out of betting money because I don't want to lose money.
Hey, y'all want to hear something groundbreaking?
Yeah. No.
Oh, damn. I was going to say the Cincinnati Bengals aren't as good as the Baltimore Ravens. There. I said it. Those are my power rankings. I don't know.
Are you going to talk about your MVP rankings or no?
Hold on. Let me recap what I had. So
I didn't prepare MVP rankings.
Who's the Saints?
So we'll get back to that next week.
All right. Yeah.
Drew Brees is the MVP. That's all we need to know.
Yeah.
Moving on.
No Panthers.
Now it is time for us to just do picks and pick them and just go over some of the games of week 12. So
that I shall be leading. Game one, Bears-Lions.
Why do you have
Thanksgiving to leave? Thanksgiving noon 30. Because.
Oh, fine. I'll be Caboose. I'll have my finger up. Or no, Caboose doesn't have finger up. I close the door. I don't remember.
Bears versus Lions. Noon 30, Thanksgiving.
Lions, Bears, and Tigers, oh my.
I'm going to go ahead and take the Bears because I think the Lions are garbo.
Duh, Bears.
Lions in an upset.
Wow. Ooh.
I mean, they're 4-point underdogs. And.
Is this being played in Detroit?
Yeah.
Yeah, they always play at home at Thanksgiving.
Ooh.
Moving on.
4:30 on Fox on Thanksgiving. Redskins versus Cowboys. As old as time.
Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm taking the Cowboys.
Yeah, the Cowboys. There's nothing Colt McCoy's going to be able to do.
Adrian Peterson.
The Thanksgiving night game, Saints-Falcons. This is a big one for the Saints.
They're 13-point favorites.
If I'm betting the line on this game, it's definitely – I'm taking the Falcons. The Falcons are going to play them tough. The Saints are going to win.
Yeah, I'll take the Saints, but don't get me – I'm not giving them a 13 – a rivalry game? Nah, that's not 13 points. I'll give them a touchdown. I'll say that the Saints will buy a touchdown.
All right, then the first game, Sunday, 1 o'clock, Jacksonville versus Buffalo.
Jacksonville.
What is sure to be a nice, nice 3-7 game.
I'll go with the boat.
Jacksonville's 3-point favorite. They're 3-point favorites. Jacksonville. Although the Buffalo defense should probably play the Jacksonville offense.
This is going to be
it's going to be a disgusting game.
Playoff divisional round rematch. Or a wild card rematch.
Goodness.
Wow, I forgot that this is a wild card game. How the mighty have fallen.
It was a freaking 10-3 game. I remember
that. Featuring the debut of the Peter Bean.
Tyrod Taylor was, if I remember correctly, Tyrod Taylor had a last second drive that Jalen Ramsey picked him off.
No, that was Nathan Peterman.
Oh, you're right. Tyrod Taylor got hurt. Sorry.
Yeah.
Forgive me.
Cleveland Browns versus Cincinnati Bengals. Who are you guys taking?
I'm going to go with the Browns.
I'm going to take the Browns on this one.
Ooh.
Bengals defense is looking iffy. Sorry.
All right. I will also take the Browns because I think the Bengals. It's about time for them to fall apart.
The Bengals are the second worst defense when it comes to points allowed. Yeah, I'll take that. I'm going to take Cleveland on this.
Raiders Ravens. Ugh, there's some ugly matchup tweaking. Really?
Baltimore's 10.5-point favorites. My gosh.
I'm gonna take the Raiders in the spread, but the Ravens are gonna win the game.
Yeah. You guys think Lamar Jackson has a big game? I think if he's the full time starter, I think he'll.
It's a big game.
Yeah.
But that's the question. Like, I mean, he'll do all right.
I think he could put up big numbers. This is a very not good Raiders defense. Yeah. So
we can go ahead and skip the next game. We all know it's going to be Patriots.
The Jets normally play the Patriots tough no matter how bad the Jets are, but I can't pick them to win.
What's the line? Patriots are 9.5-point favorites. Wow.
Yeah, the That's Patriots crazy. Are going to win. We can all unanimously believe it. Jets against Eagles. I think this Giants. Is a more interesting – oh, yeah, Giants at Eagles.
Giants-Eagles.
I think this is a more intriguing matchup than
– I'll take the Eagles just because they're at home.
I'm gonna take the Giants on an upset.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't know, man. I don't trust Eli enough.
Neither do I, but am I supposed to trust the Eagles?
Yes. I think more. I trust the Eagles more.
Yeah. Each his own. 49ers, Buccaneers.
This is a bad week. We got Rams, Chiefs, and then the NFL schedule makers are like, ha, let's make them suffer.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and 49ers win next.
I say both.
Man, Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be really good this game. Taking over for Jameis Winston in the second half.
Yeah.
I'll take Nick Mullins and Matt Breida to do well. So, I'll take the 49ers to win. Wait, what's the over-under? It is a 55-point over-under. Jesus Christ. If I'm
one
correct,
of the,
that's...
One of the more pivotal games this weekend, you could say, in a fight for the number one draft pick.
Yeah. Should be fun.
Next up, Seahawks-Panthers. A very important game for both parties.
Even with my bias, the Panthers are a different team at home. They're undefeated at home this year. They pretty much only play good at home. So I'm going to say they continue with that.
Ooh, so I was just
going to
say that.
I'm going to go along with that as well. Panthers are going to win.
Yeah, Carolina is one game, if I'm correct, ahead of Seattle in the wild card race. So this is very important.
Is
you guys took who? Sorry?
We both
took
the Panthers
because of the fact they're undefeated at home and play really good at home.
Man, I hate picking against. I'll take the Panthers, but I
and
do.
And now
think
you
it'll
jinxed
be...
them. Thanks, bud. Pick Russell Wilson.
No.
Moving on to the Arizona Cardinals, Los Angeles Chargers. Win. Chargers are gonna win next. Pittsburgh Steelers, Denver Broncos. Who you guys pick?
Well, Broncos are at home, so it could be a little more interesting. Steelers are 3-point favorites.
Steelers
I'll take the Steelers to win, but it should be a close one.
All right. So wait, do we all pick the Steelers, correct?
Yeah.
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 Miami Dolphins, Indianapolis Colts. I think this is going to be a blowout.
I mean, low key, if you just look at the records, this is an important game for both teams if they actually have hopes of making the playoffs.
Yeah, but they're both on different trajectories. I mean, that's like
very true.
The Dolphins start off hot, and then I mean the
Ryan
the
Tannehill
Colts
is
are
starting. Tannehill
the
is back.
Have won their last four. I'm still gonna take the Colts on this one.
I am too.
At home,
in an upset,
9-point favorites. That's crazy. Really,
Dolphins in the upset.
Ooh, not
understand.
Sleeping on Tannehill. I like it.
All right,
Green Bay, Minnesota. That's a Sunday night.
Minnesota, 3-point favorites.
Minnesota. Yep. Yeah, well, yeah, they get the home field.
They got home field.
I'm going to give Minnesota the edge in this one.
I'm not going to go with Kirk Cousins in primetime. He sucks. He might as well be Andy Dalton in primetime.
Aaron
pulls it out.
Yeah, I'm going to take Goat Jr. and Aaron Jones.
You've convinced me. I'm picking the
Packers.
Run the table part two. Time to
relax.
Finish the year 10-5-1.
Relax.
Oh, no. Nick, I will say when I did my playoff predictor, I had the Packers going 9-6-1, and they snuck in the playoffs. So,
interesting. I don't think so. I'm sticking with the Vikings in this.
So this is it's too early to tell because you know when it comes to the NFC, it's always going to be tight. But are the Vikings probably the biggest bust of the year? A bit better, bigger than Philadelphia?
No.
Philadelphia's
the biggest bust
much
of the
bigger.
Year. I guess it was because maybe. I think that's because Philadelphia had injuries and stuff. You could have expected a little bit of a struggle. But with Minnesota, I mean, you got a better quarterback. Kirk Cousins is what we think is better than Case Keenum, but
I mean, to be honest, the biggest bust, if even if you take out the Eagles, I think it might be the Falcons. A lot of people had them.
I think the defensive injuries to me it plays more of a role because their offense is still really good. Julio's a beast.
It still counts, no matter if you get injuries or not. I still consider that a bust.
I still think that if the Falcons' defense was healthy, I think they'd probably be in the playoff picture right now. They'd probably be
most likely. Yeah.
All right. Oh my gosh.
And Monday night is back to its usual.
This is a bummer. Yeah, Titan. I'm taking the Texans on this one.
Texans, yeah.
The Texans
move to eight consecutive wins.
The Texans get closer to getting that one seed.
There's not even a line yet. Which only I don't one know game why.
It says 6.5 for me.
6.5. It says this for sure. Yeah, I'm taking the Texans on that one, and I think they win comfortably. About maybe double digits.
Watch out, guys. Right.
That wraps up the game.
My bold prediction is 8-0 in their past 8 weeks.
What do y'all think the score is going to be? I'm going to go 31-20.
For what game? The Monday Nighter?
Yeah.
7. Blowout City.
6-27.
Alrighty.
All right. That
just about wraps it up.
Yeah, that wraps up the weekly recap.
A couple shout outs to my fantasy team. Took Nick out of the playoffs, hopefully.
Ouch.
No, and technically not eliminated until I lose this week.
Okay, I decreased Nick's chances of making it to the playoffs a lot. And then I also jumped over Joe Hahn in the standings.
My chances were already slim as all hell.
This sucks. I have to play.
I already had no hope.
There's a 5-way tie for second place, which is wild.
My only goal now is to end Tucker's hopes of making playoffs.
Do it. I can beat him, too. I get Donnie next week, so hopefully I can win that.
All right. Well, I think that wraps it up.
That wraps up the weekly podcast.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, Thanksgiving week.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
We're thankful for everybody who listens. Thank you for tuning in every week. Thank you. Because you allow us to penetrate your audio holes and bless your ears.
I would have rather not had you use those words.
Yeah,
that's a little iffy, huh?
Hey, man.
Johan loves the penetration
of audio holes.
Yeah, all right.
From our voices, bye-bye. due to us. Yeah, we're provide. Thank all you right. for allowing us to bless your ears. With our lack of football knowledge and bad takes.
Speak for yourself.
So, yeah. Thanks all for right. listening.
Have a safe Thanksgiving. Don't microwave any turkeys.
Microwave.
No,
yo,
do what you want.
What?
Let them do what they want to do.
I don't advocate.
Frozen turkey in the deep fryer, go for it. We're not stopping you.
Hey.
But we also don't take responsibility for whatever happens. So.
Yeah, whatever happens. If y'all any you. Injuries.
That's on you, bud.
Don't OD on pie this weekend, friends.
That's too late.
Have a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy Black Friday shopping. Don't go into too much debt. Bankruptcy is not a fun thing.